Okay, so this is going to be a different way of reading the scripture this morning, just slightly different to how we normally read it. And I've got somebody already lined up. So we have in youth for the last term been looking at what we can learn from the story of David and how David grew in God. And so we thought we'd look at this story today and teach you a little bit of what we've learned. But all term, I've had the most amazing young boy called David, who is actually called Joshua in real life. So if you could just give him a little round of applause. Come on, Josh, come up here. And I've already primed a Goliath. Could Goliath come to the front? Could you boo Goliath as he comes to the front, please? Boo. You're all waiting to see his boo. There we go. Right. Okay. Oh, he can take it. Oh, I feel sad. You come over here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just wait for a few more stickers on there. This is your last opportunity, everyone, to put your sticker on there because we need it. Ben's having trouble with the sticker. It's all right. He's okay. He's there. We all got our stickers on there. Okay, Goliath's just getting ready for the part over here. Oh, hang on. Goliath, the rest of Goliath's stuff's over here, actually. How's it going? Oh, it's attractive. You need a helmet. Thanks. Okay. And here's your belt. I'll let you put that on yourself. I think you're old enough to do that now. And there's your sword. I'm sure they didn't have lightsabers in the Bible, but these are a lot less damaging in a house of boys than actual toy swords. But it's a baddie sword, as you can see. There. Oh, he's all good. He's all good. Right, there we go. Okay. So I think we're just about ready now for our story. So let me take you back in history. Imagine the scene. The Philistines and the Israelites were up against each other in battle. And there were some soldiers on one side. Now, I need three people who are going to be the brother of David. Anybody like to volunteer? Caleb? Yep. Young girl in the red dress. You come up. Oh, Elizette. Right, good. Okay, so you are three older brothers of Joshua. Obviously, over here. Joshua, would you mind just being over? You're over in a field over there by your dad's house. And anybody would like to be King Saul? King Saul, yes, Hannah, excellent. King Saul, brilliant. With a really long old beard and everything. Good, like, very good. Right, we'll set the scene. Okay, so imagine the scene. There is a big valley with a little brook here, as you can see, if you're over by Josh. And the Philistines have lined up on one side and the Israelites have lined up on the other. And every day, this guy that was over 9 feet tall, the Bible says, this was the best we could do. It's pretty good, I think. Okay. And he was scary and intimidating. Ooh. And he had great armor. The Bible talks about it's very heavy. But he was strong enough to handle it. Yeah. And so there he was. And he used to come out every day and be like, come on, to all the Israelites. And all the Israelites were a little bit scared. They weren't. And the Philistine, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do is, whoever comes out of these, all of this lot, if one person comes out and fights me, then they have won the war. Okay, but he came out every day in a scary way. Boom. And he would say, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and servants. And he said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight one another. And on hearing these words, Saul, where's Saul? Have we got Saul yet? Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, come and join your army, sorry. Was dismayed. Yeah, that's pretty good, dismayed. And they just didn't know what to do. Now, meanwhile, can we have a father of, you will be fine. Perfect. The father of David over here, Jesse. Okay. And he was there, and David was looking after the sheep. Brendan, Matt, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Some sound effects. And he was wondering how his other sons were doing, his three eldest sons. So he thought, to send them some packed lunch. You just take that with you, put it in your pocket. He thought, send them some packed lunch. It actually talks about 10 loaves of bread, roasted grain, and 10 cheeses. Don't take it yet, don't take it yet. Okay. So his dad gives it to him and says, go and see how they are. So off he goes, he packs up. It took him a long time to get that pack up ready and come over. And he comes along, and early in the morning, he leaves his flock. Thank you. And he loads up, he comes out, he reaches the army, and he hears this fellow, big scary fellow, come out and intimidate everybody. And he saw them all in fear. And he's wondering what is going on. So, Micah, would you mind being a man in my army? Yeah. Okay. And so he asks the man in the army, what's going on? What's going on? And they tell him that this is big scary guy keeps coming out. And he thinks, what should be done for the man who kills this man? And they said, well, Saul has said that, you know, if somebody kills him, that he'll give his daughter in hand of marriage. Oh, yes. And he's pretty, you know, he sort of thinks, who is this fellow that calls himself who should defy the armies of the living God? But his older brothers, could you just come forward one moment, please? Older brothers, all three of you, brothers. I know you don't feel like a brother. You don't look much like a brother either. So they're like, who does he think he is coming here? And asking about I think he just wants to see the battle. And the oldest brother here, you'll be the oldest because you're the tallest. Can you go to your brother, take the lunch? Thanks very much. But look a bit annoyed. Yeah, he's not happy. He is not happy about what is going on here. But Saul, who is here, he hears about this guy that is talking about all of this stuff. And he calls him to himself. So could you come before Saul, please? And he says, let's no one lose heart on account of him. And I'm going to read this next bit. And Saul's a bit worried. And he thinks, who are you? You're just a young, can you just face everybody? A young snip of a lad. You know, he's not a big guy. He's not a warrior. And David says to him, your servant has been keeping the father's sheep. And when the lion or the bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it. Rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul says, go, the Lord be with you. Go on. Yes. But before he does that, he thinks, you can't go into battle just like that, David. Oh, no. You need my armor, which obviously normally fits Hannah, I would think. So she puts on, would you mind putting that on him? Takes up a big shield and a really, really heavy sword. Oh, it's heavy, yeah. And you pop that on his head, his helmet. Okay, it's lovely. And he's like, tries to walk in it. It's not getting on very well. He says, I can't go like this. So take it all off again. He says, I'm going to have to be myself. And I'll take my slingshot with me, and I'll do it how I do it. Ooh, his helmet's coming off. So he leaves Saul's stuff behind, and he goes down to the stream, and he picks out 5 stones, including the very green foam ball, which will not hurt anybody. He chooses them very carefully, and he goes. So Goliath comes out, intimidating, and he's like, who is this bloke that's come over to me? But This is what David says. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. The very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army, it's not really nice, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And as he moved towards him, he hit him with his stone right in the forehead. Yay! Good shot. And Goliath was felled. It's amazing. And David became the hero. Goliath, just stay there a moment. And all the rest of you can just have a sit down. Give him a round of applause. Thank you very much for helping. And the stone had sunk into his forehead and he was dead. And I just want you to think for a moment of all of those things that you wrote down on those things, that with one thing, with God's help, with God's word, and with God's, that the giant fell. You can now get up. And we can give him a round of applause for being a very good giant. Don't know how you're going to deal with that. So I wanted us to think today about overcoming giants in our lives. And there's a couple, a small group of, we were really, really blessed. The ministry Healed for Life about 6 weeks or so ago, through David and Sheila. David and Sheila were helping at something. And they offered us 5 free places to send some of our young people to go to the Healed for Life conference. And it was a bit last minute and it was a bit like, oh, and we sent some of our old ones. And and they were really dealing with stuff that may seem like giants in their lives. And I've asked a couple of them to come and share a little bit of what God did in their lives. I've no idea what they're going to say. So, but Abby and Vanessa, you can come up, Vanessa? Yeah. Vanessa's got a medal on from Heal for Life. Where's Abby? Oh, she's there. Okay, give them a little round of applause. Who wants to go first? Abby's going first. Yeah. Okay, so tell us what God's been doing in you.
Hi, I'm Abby. So last year I got baptised and I shared there about life before and before I was a Christian and what it was like. And I just assumed then that that was it, I was healed, I'm done. But actually the past year has been really hard, and a lot of the time I wasn't strong enough to do it on my own. I kept saying to myself, I don't want to do it anymore. I was lying in the road and I was on a bridge and I was saying, I don't want to do it anymore. And I couldn't do it. But actually, because I was fighting against God and he was saying to me, like, you don't have to do it. He was bringing me out of situations which I wanted to be in, but because I thought I wasn't strong enough, I was going back to them situations. And he was bringing me out and saying, no, don't. You don't need to do it. I will fight it for you. I don't need you to do it. And I was, instead of me fighting with him, I was fighting against him because I thought, I'll do it all by myself. I don't need your help. So then when I went to Heal for Life, and I thought, been to Heal for Life, I'm on track for a couple of weeks. I thought I was on track. And then I figured stuff out which were really inside of me that I didn't even know were there anymore, and I didn't even know were hurting me as much as they did. And I was released from all that pain, that anger, that the grudges I was holding on to, which was stopping me from being with God and being on track and being who I'm meant to be. So yeah, it was really powerful.
So before I went to Healed for Life, I've always been a Christian since I was little, and that was like the one thing in my life that I kept strong to, like God. I always wanted to please God, and like even when I was little, I would pray to God and I would always be like, yeah, I'm going to do this to please you, because like you're the one person that's constant in my life. And even if I didn't feel loved by everyone else around me, like I used to live with my grandma, like she tried my best. I love my grandma. But like I'd still always try to please God over anyone. And like a lot of things happened and in my life that I thought, oh, you know what, I can just push them away, they're done, until I went to Healed for Life. And then Jo was speaking, no, she was praying for me actually, and she kept on talking about my childhood, and I thought, oh, my childhood is so long ago, like I'm 18 now, come on. and then she kept on bringing up issues that I thought, wait, I can't remember that. And she was talking about how that's still affecting me now, and I've put up these walls and I've vowed to say I'm never going to let anyone in. And she's just telling us like how God, like how God loves us no matter what. And even though I've put conditions to his love, he loves me unconditionally. Like, he doesn't care whether I get the best grades. He doesn't care whether I make a mistake. Like, he's not going to change his love. And there was one song, that one song that we listened to about 50 times. It went like, your love is supernatural, it's unconditional, and it's eternal. And at first, it got a bit like, oh, the song again. But when you listen to the lyrics and you really like deep it in your heart, you really realize like how much God is there for you. And we do a lot of bad things. Like, I thought, oh, you know what, after Healed for Life, it's fine now, I'm good and everything. But it's not like that. It's a journey. And even after Healed for Life, we still have to keep building our relationship with God and help, like, allowing him to heal us from within. Because even after I came back and after everything that she spoke into my life, I still went and still put up these wars against others, won't let other people in. But now it's a journey, and you still have to keep going. But it was a wonderful experience, and we're really thankful that we went, and we were all attached to everyone that came. So thank you.
It's such a blessing. We're so grateful. And it would just be really good to pray for them that God will continue and protect what he's done, wouldn't it? So, Emily, would you mind coming up here and just praying? If anybody else wants to, they can do. But just let's just pray that God will just continue, because it is a journey. And I would say, like, Vanessa is letting people in more. So, you know, she is doing that. So that's real testimony to what God's done. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for these lovely, beautiful young women of God. And Lord, I thank you for what they've done. I thank you for the journey that they're on. And thank you for what you've done in their life and for the truth that they've spoken this morning. And Lord, I pray that it will give us courage, Lord Jesus, and encouragement of what you can do in our lives as well. Protect what you've done, Lord, and Tyrell and Chris and Rotendo, who also went, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will just continue to work in them. And what they've learned, Lord, they'll be able to pass on to other people as well. Continue to help them walk in the freedom that you have given them. And thank you for the walls and the giants that have fallen in their lives already. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Good job. An air hug. She left me hanging. Okay, so we've prepared a sketch for you today.
I'm really excited about God now being Soul Survivor. I really want to tell my friends about him. I'll tell them that I'm a Christian and what he's done in my life. We can have really long conversations about him, and maybe some of them could become Christians. But what if they laugh? What if they make fun of me? What if they don't want to be my friends anymore? What if they ask me really difficult questions? What if I can't find the right answers? I'll just keep quiet.
Fear is marching, 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 marching towards me like a giant in battle.
God's really been giving me messages today in the service. I think it's maybe a prophecy. My heart's growing really fast and my stomach is doing somersaults. It's maybe a powerful word from God for some people. Oh. But what if it's not? What if it's not from God? What if what I've got is just for me? What if I go up there and people laugh and people think I sound silly? No, I think I'll just stay out of sight and I'll just keep quiet.
Fear is marching, 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 marching towards me like a giant in battle. Fear is armed, fully equipped.
I feel like God is saying for me to leave my work and live by faith until I find what he wants me to do next. That sounds quite exciting, a new adventure, a new place where God can really use me. I feel I've been in my old job too long now and God wants me to move on. But what if I tell my wife and she scoffs at me and says we'll never be able to live? What if I give up my job and we don't have enough to live? What if I can't give my kids all they need and they feel like I'm letting them down? What if I'm too old to find another job? No. I think I'll stay in my old job. At least it is safe. I don't want to rock the boat. I won't tell my wife in case I'm wrong. I'll just keep quiet.
Fear is marching, 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 marching towards you like a giant in battle. Fear is armed, fully equipped, with all the weapons it needs to destroy me. Fear is large, like a giant, its shadow is towering over me.
I've been in church the last few weeks, and God's really been doing things in me. I'm really stirred up, and people keep talking about hurt and forgiveness. A few times I've felt like crying, but I've been able to control myself. I think the time has come, though, where I need to give over this hurt and feeling so I can be fully healed, like that woman in church last week. She was so free, so full of joy and peace. I think that I should talk to someone about it. But what if it's not really God, and I'm just being over-emotional again? What if I start crying and I can't stop? What if the anger comes up and I can't control it any longer? What if I cry for hours and just feel worse? What if there's something wrong in me and I'm not like that woman on Sunday? What if I can never be free and healed? What if I tell someone about it and they think I'm awful? What if they reject me? And worse, if God rejects me? What if I'm too screwed up for even God to deal with? What if I can't tell them what I really feel? I mean, I'm not sure myself. No. I've lived with it all these years. Well, just about, if you call this living. I think I'll just keep quiet.
Fear is marching, 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 marching towards me like a giant in battle. Fear is armed, fully equipped, with all the weapons it needs to destroy me. Fear looms large, like a giant. Its shadow is towering over me. Fear has power, a life of its own. It will destroy you.
I'm so fired up. I'm going to change the world with God.
Starting with my friends and family, I'm going to pray for people and see them get healed. I'm going to share the love and the word of God, and people are going to ask what it's all about. But what if they don't want to know? What if they don't get healed when I pray? What if no one else will help me? I can't do it on my own. What if nothing changes? It seems pointless. I think I'll just keep quiet.
You come against me with words, fear, and lies, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. All those gathered here today will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you all over into our hands.
What are you doing? Do you not know? If God is with me, who can be against me?
God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies.
We are marching, marching, marching,
marching forward into victory.
Right, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, so is it all right if I just go long, hard, fast, go for it, and just give it to you? Okay, cool. Well, we've been looking at the life of David, and I've lost my notes. There we go. We've been looking at the story of David and what we can learn from him, and you know, there are giants in our lives, and there are giants in the society that we need to see felled in Jesus' name, isn't there? And he has given us what we need in Christ to see these things overcome. And so what can we learn from Dave? So hopefully we're up to there. What can we learn from Dave? Okay, so we need to learn to worship God, look to him in every situation. One thing we learned about David is before anything, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. And so many of the Psalms are written by David. He was a guy who loved to worship God in all situations. When things are terrible and when things are good, he worshiped God. And do you remember there used to be this chorus that used to go, and in his presence, our problems disappear. Come on, celebrate, or Jesus, we celebrate your victory, I think it was called. And it's not that our problems disappear, is it, when we come into the presence of God, but it's like we change our perspective. So we kind of like come up to God's perspective and we look at who God is, and he helps us to look at our situation differently. And, you know, I just think I love to worship. I absolutely love worshiping because God has done so much in my life and he deserves my worship. Even when I don't feel like it, even if I'm tired, even if I'm going through a hard time, he deserves my worship every single day. And through all situations, you know, I feel like I just need to get into God's presence and his, and just know him. And, you know, even in the last few weeks, I felt that. I felt like I just need to declare the goodness of God and who he is in every situation and just worship him. And it changes the way that I view the situation I'm in. So the first thing we can learn from David is to be worshippers of God in all situations. The second thing we can learn is that David knew that God was bigger, and he knew that God was bigger, and he had testimony in his own life of what God had done. And he recalled that. If you remember in that story, he said, you know, he talked about when the lion and the bear came and carried off the sheep. And he talked about how God helped him in that situation, and how even in the back of beyond, you know, he worshipped God in the back of beyond when nobody was noticing him, and in every situation, but also in the back of beyond, he was fighting battles. And don't we know in our lives we fight battles when nobody else is watching, and God is training us to what maybe we'll just, he'll bring us out into a new place, like where we're fighting a battle against somebody, you know, against something in the world that maybe is a bit more public. So, but the way that we can encourage ourselves is to speak out that testimony. Speak that testimony to yourself. Do you remember, Faye, when God did this? Do you remember in church when Vanessa shared something and Abby shared something? Remember other people's testimonies. Remember what God has done in the Bible. It helps us to know that God is bigger than the situation that we're in. And, you know, I remember, like, recently my mum was meeting with Vanessa, and she told her that I used to be really incredibly shy. And, you know, I was a girl who didn't talk till my brother went to school, and because my brother used to speak for me. And all through school, it would always be, Faye works really hard, she does really well, but she just doesn't talk very much. And she just, I know you can't believe that now, can you? But I feel like God has broken that in my life, and I have to remind myself of it, because there's situations where I need to speak up and speak out, and it's difficult to do so, but I have to go, no, God, I have confidence in you because you have done this in me. So the second thing we can learn from David is to remember what God has done in our own lives, in other people's lives, take other people's testimonies if we need to, but just speak out what God has done, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Third thing we can learn from David is that we have to be ourselves. David couldn't go in those big old armor. It didn't fit him. It wasn't him. And we need to be ourselves before God. And just, you know, you can't be someone you're not. You can't be like, you know, you can't be like Sue, or like, you know, you can't be, you know, like Florin in the worship. Florin, you know, Sue, you know, Adam, you know, you've got to be yourself in God. And this is something that God has continually been teaching me as well, because sometimes I see things really differently as a leader than other people, and I think, surely everyone sees it like that. And God's going, no, because I've made you the way you are, so you need to speak up and say how you see things, because I've spoken to you about it. So this is a journey I'm on about being myself, but God wants you to be yourself. So there's three things we can learn. The fourth thing we can learn is, well, it's really a challenge, actually. You know, David stepped up to the plate. Everybody else was fearful, but he knew God and he stepped up. So are we going to step up in faith and step out and be able to say, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine? Your servant will go and fight. Are you up for going to fight for God, you know, and to see his will be done in the world? You know, we are, you know, look at our society. We need people who will speak up and speak out and live for God, live for marriage and you know, like for family life, you know, the marriage course, and stand up. You know, maybe that God's laying on your life something big, like modern day slavery, you know, and you think, wow, that's just too big to even comprehend, or poverty. But God is called, if God's put that on your heart, if he's put something on your heart, he wants you to do something about it. And it may start small, but don't be defeated by a giant before you even start. Step up, step out, and know that he is with you. And the last thing I want to say is that we can overcome with Jesus. We need his strength, we need his Holy Spirit, and we need his word. Get to know his word, read his word. You can even have a streak now on the Bible app. If you are on, you know, Snapchat fans on this row here, they have streaks on Snapchat. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about, most of you, but you can have a streak with you and your Bible, and every day you can read a bit of the Bible and it'll extend your streak. You probably think I'm talking about something like to do with people. 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. Good, yeah. It's just if you keep going and read your Bible every day, it says you've done so many days. I don't know. I haven't even got it on my phone, so I read the Bible in paper and, you know, old school, you know, in the book. I've got one of those. So read the word, memorize the word, know the word. Digest the word, live the word, and you know when it comes to the moment, you'll be able to say with David, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." When depression comes up, when fear comes up in your life, fear is often the thing. That's why we focused on that in the sketch. Fear is often the thing. We think God's spoken to us, and then we think, "Oh, was that God? Is that you know? Oh, am I good enough? Am I whatever? You know, speak up." You know, in the name of Jesus, that this day that thing will be delivered into your hands and you'll strike it down and cut off its head. You might as well cut off the head of depression, eh? And you know, we want people to know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, but the battle is the Lord's and he'll give you into our hands. So speak out the word of truth. Be people of worship. Be people who speak out testimony. Be people who know the truth and let the truth set us free, and be people that are willing to step up. And that's my challenge for you today, to do those things. Spend time in his word, spend time in his presence, get filled with the Holy Spirit and worship him. And Brendan's gonna come and under pressure from me and Paul, we pressured him to come and say he's going to sing one of the songs that he's written. But as we do that, I just want you to just reflect on what I've said today, and just this is a time to respond maybe differently than we would normally do. Brendan, do you think you could make your way? You're so laid back; it's almost horizontal. But what I'd love you to do, I just want you to invite the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit, and I want you to just draw close to God, and whatever kind of thing in your life, you know, that maybe is a giant for you today, I want you to just focus on God. Breathe in his Holy Spirit, breathe in his word this morning, and know that you can overcome in Jesus' name. And maybe it's not something big in your life that's stopping you, but maybe God's calling you to step up to the plate like David did. And I just commit that to him, you know, because you're not, wherever we are, whether we've got something that we're struggling with in our life or whether we're going to step up to the plate and do something for him, we need to draw close to God. So in this moment, I just want us to draw close to him. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you use us for your glory and you want to use us just like David. And we want to be people who draw close to you. We want to be people who step up to the plate. Help us to be people of worship and people of the word and people who speak out your testimony, Lord. And Lord, we want to be people who step up, and we don't want these things to hold us back any longer. So Lord, today we give them to you and we draw close to you, and we just want to hear your word, Lord. So Jesus, just come now by your Spirit. Jesus.
You know me better than I know myself. I wish I could see myself through your eyes. All I want is to be perfect, just like you. Break the chains that hold me back. tell me to be the person I'm supposed to be. All I want is to make you smile. And could you carry me a little further and take me a little deeper? Hold me a little closer to you. Help me fly a little higher, run a little faster, try a little harder for you. You help me to see things clearly. You blow the doubt away from my eyes. Please don't let my selfish ways get in the way. When I'm with you, I feel complete. You're the missing piece from my life. I don't want to spend another day without you in my life. And could you carry me a little further and take me a little deeper? Hold me a little closer to you. Help me fly a little higher, run a little faster, and try a little harder for you. You know me better than I know myself. I wish I could see myself through your eyes. All I want is to be perfect, just like you.
Felt like a powerful Holy Spirit moment there, didn't it? I've heard that song a few times, but I hadn't listened to it recently. But I just was thinking how perfect that was for this moment. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, you help us to see you, Lord God, clearly, and go deeper and higher with you. And Lord, and we just thank you, Lord. We can see ourselves as you see us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for every single person here, Lord, that they will be able to see themselves as you see them. Lord, we worship you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.